So a little more about me. There was a couple of years ago where I found myself just living the Christian life. After I'd given my heart to the Lord, after I'd established a youth that still today exists, myself and my wife get to run. Jade is my wife, and she's the youth pastor, and we still get to manage this youth that, by God's grace, I got to invest in 10 years ago. But still, I came to a point where I found myself living a mundane life. Myself, I like to push boundaries in my life. I like to renew things every time. But God had to come to I had to come to a point where I had to say, God, what now? Like, is this what you have in store for me? So eventually, God started answering me, and it was the year 2014. And God, through two separate occasions, spoke to me, and He said to me that He wants to use me, He wants to send me out in the world. Okay, so that to me was great news, because I love traveling, I love being outside my comfort zone. But I didn't listen, because I was very comfortable in the life that I was leading. So, I'm going to explain to you guys a little. I was climbing up the ladder of success, the way we see success, right? So success in this world is having money, having your own place, having a job that you always wanted. Let me ask you guys this question. Who of you know someone or are in the position where from a very young age you decided you wanted to be something one day and you actually became that thing? Now, I don't know a lot of people in my life that get to say that, but in grade 3 I decided I wanted to be a graphic designer. I always liked the art and believe it or not, I'm 27 now and I'm a graphic designer today. And that's amazing. And to me, that was a form of success, because in 2014, I was the lead designer of a company. I had my own place. I had a car. I had my own life. I had moved out of my parents' place. I was making my own rules. And back then, I was 24, so at that time, I was looking at my friends who were still living with their parents and who hadn't had jobs, so I was like, okay, I'm successful. And then God comes one day, I was in a church service just like you guys are now, and we were worshiping, and there was a ministry moment, and Pastor Johan Steyn walks down the stage, and he comes and he stands right by me, and he says to me, son, what are you doing here? I looked at him and I was like, well, I'm kind of attending your church service, what do you mean? And then he said to me, no, what I mean is, what are you doing here? Because I feel very strongly that the Lord says that He wants to send you out in the world. But He can't do that because there's stuff tying you down here. So His next words to me was something that I'd only heard of. I've heard of people having to do this, and I've read it in the Bible where the disciples had to do this, but He said to me, you have to leave everything that you're busy with. You have to sever all ties so that God can use you. At first, my mind was blown because I was like, why is this happening to me? But then when I went home and I sat in my comfy house, had to go to work the next day, I loved my job. That kind of started bothering me, because now I'm rethinking. Did He really mean leave everything? Or just some of it? Because I mean, if God's going to send me out, obviously I'm going to need money, so I still need a job. I still need my car. I still need to be independent. So, long story short, I'm like, okay, God, we're doing this. We're really going to do this. So, through a couple of months, I end up quitting my job. I moved back to my parents' place, which, I don't know if you guys have ever done that. No, I love my parents. I absolutely love my parents. But having to go from, I was just over a year that I had already stayed in my own place, and now I've got to live under my parents' roof again. That was some form of torture. So now I quit everything. I eventually get to a place where I have nothing to do. I wake up in the morning and I have nowhere to go. I have nothing to do. All I can say is, God, now what? I just made the boldest move of my life. I just quit everything. At the time, I had 3 music projects going. And I was coaching a sport. which all of it I love to do. I mean, God planted these passions in my heart, and now He's saying, take it away. So I did it. It wasn't a week after I'd got my last thing. God said to me, you're going overseas. And I had the privilege of backpacking two continents, spreading the gospel. And it's two things that I would have never done on my own, because see, traveling overseas, traveling abroad was such a foreign concept to me. It was always this, like, yeah, there's rich people out there who do that. And here I did it. I didn't have a job. I was staying with my parents. And God got to use me like never before. And now tonight is not my testimony night, but I'm going to make a point. Because see, when you receive a word of prophecy, a prophecy is not telling your future. It's not someone who's going to come to you and say, if you click 3 likes in 3 months, someone's going to give you a call. Prophecy is simply an invitation for you to be obedient, which is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Because obedience is walking by faith and not by sight. And faith is not having a plan B. I couldn't have a plan B, quitting everything I had. I didn't phone up my boss at the time and said, listen, I feel like I need to kind of drop this job. I need to quit, but I want you to keep the position available just so in case this doesn't work out, I'm going to come back and I'm going to just reapply. Is that fine? No, I couldn't afford to do that. Because God told me to leave everything. I mean, God tells me to jump. I don't know about you, but I don't even ask how high do I jump. I just jump as high as I can. So tonight, I want to relate my story to Elijah. And if we read in 1 Kings, if you have your Bible with me, please page with me. We're going to read out of chapter 17. And just a little bit of background before I read. Elijah, he's a prophet. Okay, now a prophet is not someone who comes and he tells you your fortune. A prophet is simply, I kind of have this definition of a prophet. A prophet is simply a tool for God's voice in this world. So God will speak through this guy named Prophet Elijah. And so Prophet Elijah, he's currently working for King Ahab, who was the king of Israel at the time. And King Ahab was a very bad king. He was a very sinful king, a disobedient king. So Prophet Elijah one day wakes up and God says to him, your king has sinned against me more than I can count. You have to go tell him something. So Prophet Elijah goes up to King Ahab and he says, listen, because you have sinned against God so much, your land, Israel, is going to go under famine. Your country is going to be poor. There's going to be no water, no food. So people will die. People will starve to death. Your animals and your crop will die for the years to come. Now, this could not have been very easy for Elijah because King Ahab was already a notoriously bad king. So, obviously, this sparks a reaction on King Ahab. So, King Ahab retaliates against Elijah. So, Elijah has to flee for his life. And that's where we pick it up in 1 Kings 17. Verse 2 says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And he lived happily ever after. Or did he? No, because Elijah understood one thing. He understood that God has steps that he needed to pass. And he understood that the reward was in obedience. Because for Elijah to receive the word is one thing, but for him to act it out was another. He now had to leave this very comfy castle that he was staying in, and he had to now go out into the desert that was already under famine because of the king. So this way, Elijah could obey God's voice, and he could stir up the gifts in himself through obeying God. We read the same thing in 2 Timothy, and I don't have it on the board, you can just listen. So 2 Timothy says, "For this reason I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God." So here in the New Testament, Paul's writing and he says, you need to spark the flame of God, the gift of God in you. It's not going to just spontaneously happen. Yeah, we have our miracle moments, but you need to practice. Having a gift of the Holy Spirit is like having a talent. So we read what Elijah has to do, and I want to point something out to you. God's promise to Elijah is that he will be taken care of, no matter what. So God sends him out into the wilderness. He says, flee for your life, it's fine, I will protect you, and I'll give you food and drinks. He did not have an all-you-can-eat buffet. What he had was shards of meat brought to him by ravens. And I don't know if you have ever seen a raven. It's a fairly large bird. It's black, almost purplish. It's a nasty bird. So we can assume that whatever food the raven brought Elijah was probably picked off some carcass somewhere, and it was little chunks like this, right? It can't have been a plate with chicken and rice and veggies. It must have been something like he must have wanted more, but he knew the step. He knew the reward wasn't obedience. So that's just a picture of what Elijah had to go through here. So here he is at the ravine, eating these little shards of food, drinking from the brook that's probably drying up because there's famine in the land, right? There's going to be no rain. But Elijah understood one thing. Obedience is key. And faith in God's promise will move you to where you need to be. Hence, I got to see America. Hence, I got to backpack America and South Africa all in 6 months. I got to be on the road for 6 months, which I love, by the way, because I just don't like being home. But yes, the cool thing is my story didn't end there. That was 2015. My story didn't end there. Because before that, I was a designer at a company in Centurion. I was sitting in an office 8 to 5. But now I'm here. I'm here talking to you. And Elijah's story didn't end at the ravine either. We go on reading. If you can go to the next slide. 1 Kings 17, verse 7 to 9 says the following. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, obviously. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Okay, here God's speaking to him again. The next step. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow to supply you there with food. So verse 9 very clearly tells us that Elijah's delivery man changed, not his provision. God is still providing. So I'm pretty sure Elijah stood next to the river, the brook, and he saw that it's running dry, and he saw the raven stop coming because there's no more meat to grab from carcasses, and he must have realized, man, what now? Things are looking dim again. And I'm sure he looked at God and said, look, okay, you put me here, what's next? But obedience took him to where he needed to be. So God's voice came to him again, and it said to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow. So now he's not going to receive little shards of meat anymore. Because I'm not going to go there, but if you read this verse, he gets to Zarephath and he meets a widow. God's promise fulfilled. Boom, drop the mic. Right? But then she gives him a loaf of bread. So now it's gone from a little meat to a loaf of bread. So God will trust you with much more once he can see that you'll be humble and faithful with a little. And obedience is a step. It's a process. Obedience is never you hear and then God picks you up and he puts you right here and he's happy, you're happy, everyone goes home. It's a journey. It's a process. So when we read that Elijah traveled and the ravens brought him fruit and the brook provided his water and then the widow provided his food, we can draw one conclusion, that God has a plan for everyone involved in your obedience. God has a plan for every single one involved in your journey. He has a plan for the ravens. He has a plan for the brook. He has a plan for the widow. He has a plan for Elijah. And He has a plan for you. We can know for sure that God has a plan for us in our calling. But I want to ask you this. How often do we rob others of their chance to be blessed by missing our chance to be obedient? So I want you to think about that. Because when Elijah met with the widow, she was gathering water at the well, and she had a small amount of dough to make bread with. And as she was on her way to go make a bread for her and her son, and this was the last piece of dough that they had because the land was in famine, so they were kind of savoring this last bit of food. So Elijah comes up, a total stranger to this widow, and he says, I want you to make that bread for me. So she's like, what? And then he encourages her. He says to her, listen, God says that if you make this bread for me, your bins of dough will never run dry as long as this drought is in this country. Now this widow is blessed because she got to give the last bit of dough to Elijah. Now imagine this with me for a moment. Imagine Elijah was still in the castle, comfy. Imagine if Elijah never took to the road and said, God, I trust in you no matter what. I'm willing to give up everything I've worked for so long. Because if you read Kings before, verse 17, Elijah is there through a whole bunch of kings who come and go, who come and go, who come and go. Now, one king who throws a tantrum, Elijah has to flee. He could have been like, no, I've been here longer than you. I'm staying. But now God got to use a raven. God got to give something as ordinary as a raven, purpose, for a while. Even if it was just a little while. Even if God could just for a little while make someone feel like they have a purpose through your obedience. So this is my heart tonight. If you feel that you are in a place in your life that you might have just missed that journey because of one decision not to obey God's voice in your head. Not to obey when that guy came down and he prayed for you and he told you, God wants you to do this, but you were too scared. I honestly want to pray with you tonight that you might find your way back onto the path that God has chosen for you. Because there's other people out there who need to be blessed because of your obedience. There's other people out there who need to hear the gospel so that they may go on and obey God, so that they may go and change lives. Because that's how we're going to win the world. It's not going to be one evangelist preacher on the stage and millions are going to gather and all of them are going to know. It's going to be us. It's going to be a tree that grows. I'm going to tell 10 people. They're going to tell 10 people. All it takes is an obedient heart. All it takes is, yes, God, I'm comfy. Granted, I have money, I have things, but use me. So, I want everyone in the audience to close their eyes just for one moment. And if you honestly feel that you are not where God wants you to be, you are not where that grade 3 you wanted to be one day, I want you to just put up your hand. If you honestly feel like there's so much more to where you are right now. Yes, thank you. It's simply proclaiming that I want more. I want to pray with you. Dear God, thank you so much for this evening, Lord. Thank you for what you wanted to say to us. We often find ourselves in a place where we've misjudged who we are. Where we've misjudged your voice in our lives, Lord. So God, come tonight. Holy Spirit, come tonight and fill our hearts with purpose, with meaning, with a mission, a statement that says, I need to be there, and this is what I'm going to do to get there. Or a statement that says, God, I am willing to walk by faith and not by sight. And I do not have a plan B, because all that matters is my plan A. All that matters is what God says I must do. And I am going to jump tonight as high as I possibly can and know that you will catch me. God, I pray tonight for every person who put up their hand, who took the bold step to realizing themselves that they might have made the mistake. Because God, we speak about miracles. We speak about purpose. But I don't believe for one second that you turn your back on us, Lord. So may we find it in ourselves tonight to turn around and say, I accept your challenge. I accept your love. And I accept your purpose in my life, whether I like it or not. And when we go out in the week, Lord, when we meet people who don't know you, may our obedient decisions, may our obedient lives be a shining light to those out there in the dark. Thank you, Lord. I pray that in your holy name. Amen. Thank you, Gladys. You guys are great. Those people who put up their hands, I would love to pray with you in person. So please, if you have the time, please come to the front after we're done. I would love to pray with you. Thank you very much.
Awesome, guys. May you stay and remain open.